Today, the title of my message will be Faith in Times of Uncertainty. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you today, Lord, for the worship today. God, I thank you for the people of God. And Lord, we sense your presence here today. We thank you, Lord, that you are stirring and doing something in these last days. And God, I pray, Lord, in every individual, God, that you'd leave nobody behind. I pray for the one that may be here today that feels weak or distraught. Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would lift them up, God. Lord, we're not just coming here to read words out of a book. We want to know who you are. And God, we want to walk, Lord, through this life with the glory and the presence of God. Lord, we want to be different. We don't want to be the way that we used to be. God, I pray that you would take us from image to image and from glory to glory. And God, I pray to this group of people and Lord, everyone that would listen today, God, I pray that you would speak something from heaven. We love you and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. You know, in the door to our sanctuary, we have the main entrance. We have a sign that hangs that says, with God, nothing is impossible. And I want you to know today, nothing is impossible with God. He can do anything. You know, it says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to believe God, it's impossible to please God without faith. Job asked a question in chapter 9 and verse 2. He says, how can a man know God? I mean, he's so much higher than we are. I mean, listen, he is the image of perfection. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel very perfect. We fall not just a little bit short, but on our best day, our righteousness is like filthy rags. That's what the scripture says. And so we fall so short of God's glory. So how do we know this God? And God says this, is that it's by faith that we know him. It's by knowing him and trusting him. It's by faith. So how important, church, is it to live by faith? And it's very important. And so today we want to talk about a faith and in uncertain times, in the difficult times, that the Lord would establish a deep faith in us. It says in Hebrews 11:3, that we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Praise God. You know, when I was in college, I went to East Tennessee State. I was in a secular university. I was newly saved. And I thought that I would take a class that would really help me to know God. So there was a class that was called God, World, and Man. I want to tell you, it was one of the most challenging courses. It was really a philosophical class, and it was everything to disprove God. And so my hand went up a lot in the class with the professor that I was with, and because God had done a miracle in my life, he had changed me, and then everything was about doubting God. And so one day my hand went up. We were talking about a subject, and my hand went up, and the professor called on me. I could see, you know, kind of the look on his face, and I said, you know, I've come to realize that the Big Bang theory is true. And he paused for a moment, and I said, God said, let there be light, and bang, there was light. And folks, that's how we come into knowledge with God, is by faith. The creator of the heavens and the earth, he lives inside of us, and he has something that he wants to create here in our midst. Today, I'm going to talk to you about storms in life. We're going to talk about three different storms. And let me just say this to you. It's easy to believe God when times are easy. Hey, when you walk into the office at work and you get a raise for $20,000 a year and a corner office, how many of you would shout hallelujah? Amen. I see you're not very different from our folks in Florida. Hey, when you go into the doctor's office and he says you're cleared of cancer, there's been moments in time. There's a man I prayed with one time, and God, he had a broken neck, and God healed his neck. Another time, a man had a seeing eye dog, and his eyes were open, and he gave the seeing eye dog back. I want to tell you, with God, nothing is impossible. And those are the times that we shout hallelujah, and we thank God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hey, when your marriage is good, it's easy to praise God. But folks, what happens when you're fired at work? What happens when you're laid off? What happens when things are troubled financially? What happens when you go to the doctor's office and the report isn't as good as what you expected? You know, what happens when you're in a marriage and somebody walks away? Or the worst is that you stand at a grave with somebody that you love dearly and you're trying to make sense of it. Listen, Jesus wants to develop our faith, not just on the mountaintop, but in the valleys, not just in the good days, but in the difficult days. And so as we go through the scripture today, we want to understand a faith in troubled times. The word in the Greek is the word pistis, the word for faith. And it's very simple. The meaning of it is very simple. To believe in, to trust in, to cleave to, or rely upon Christ. That's what faith is. It's a very simple word. And as we talk about that, it can at times be a simple word, but how many know the outliving of it can be difficult? So as you're turning with me to Mark chapter 4, I want to talk about three different storms in the scripture. If I can get to that water. There we go. Starting in chapter 4 and verse 35. And the first storm is this. It says, the evening came. Jesus says to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. Now, here's the first thing. I think that most of you are very familiar with this story, but I want to just take a few things that maybe get missed sometimes when people talk about this passage. Here's the first thing. There was a mission that Jesus had for he and his disciples, and the mission was to get to the other side of the lake. You see, sometimes we think that with faith, it's just surviving the storm. It's not just surviving the storm. God has a plan and a purpose to take you from one side of the place that you're at, and he wants to take you somewhere. In this case, the purpose was on the other side of that lake, there'd be a demon-possessed man who Jesus would cast out, literally, it says, a legion of demons. So there was a place that God had them, and he was taking them somewhere. And Jesus says this. He says, let us go to the other side. Now, I want to say this, because that word is faith. Begin is the worlds were framed by the word of God, is by believing what God says. So this should have been the cue for the disciples. When Jesus says, you are going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, can you say amen? You are going to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. If Jesus said it, you're going to go there. The safest place in all of Israel was in that boat with Jesus, because he was going to bring them to the other side, if you can say amen. Amen. It says, so they took Jesus into the boat and they started out leaving the crowds behind. They were at a place of great popularity. Now they're going to a time of difficulty. And although many boats followed, but soon after that, a fierce storm came up with high waves that were breaking into the boat and began to fill them with water. Here's the second thing about the story. We're going to go quickly through this because we have three storms. But the second thing that I want you to see about this is that it says that a fierce storm arose. Now, A.T. Robertson says this. I went through and read this in the Greek. The same word for the fierce storm is the same word that's used in describing someone who is demon-possessed and the emotions that are internalized between them. So I want you to get this in the passage. They are going across the river or across the lake. They're going there to minister to someone who's demon-possessed to see them set free. But along the way, they have this fierceness of a storm. The storm that they're going through is only a picture of what the man is going through on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And I want to tell you, sometimes if you think that faith is just about surviving, it's not. God wants to bring you to the other place because there's somebody that he has for you to minister to or to reach out to or to show the love of God. And so here they're going through this fierce storm. I want to ask you today, what is the storm that you're going through today? Is it a storm of rejection? If you're here today and you're going through a storm of maybe disillusionment, I know I love New York City, but I find this every time I walk through the city that you see people who've come here for their dreams. They've come here with wide eyes, and yet sometimes the dreams aren't always fulfilled. And if you're like that and you're here today, maybe that's the storm that you're going through. Maybe you've been rejected, you've been left. Maybe you're here today and you deal with anxiety or depression or mental anguish. I want to say to you today, whatever the fierceness of the storm that you're going through, Jesus knows how to get you through the storm, and he knows how to get you to the other side. Amen? So praise God. So as they're going through, it says that the storm became very large. The waves are crashing over the side. Now, let me just say this about the disciples. You know, Peter, James, and John, and some of the other ones were actually fishermen. So they'd been on the sea before. They had encountered heavy waves. And so here, this isn't just novices. Now, if you were on the Sea of Galilee in a storm with me, you would be in trouble. Because I would just be calling 911, I don't SOS, shoot a flare. I wouldn't know how to get you to the other side. But these are men who knew how to go through storms, and yet the storms were so fierce and so great, they didn't know how to get to the other side. They are paddling, they're bailing out water, they're going through this difficult time, and in the midst of the fierceness of the storm, they stop. And here now it says in verse 38, it says that Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat, and I find this incredibly humorous. It says in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. You know, some 30 years later when they actually write this, whoever wrote it remembered that Jesus wasn't only asleep on the boat, but he had a cushion on the back of his head. Hey, Jesus, we're out here fighting. We're out here paddling. We're throwing the water off. And there you are asleep, not just asleep, but with your head on a cushion. Are you joking me? And then they say something like this. They come to him and they say, do you even care that we're about to die? Now, here they come in this broken way. I remember years ago, just to maybe illustrate this, my dad was in the Air Force. So when I was younger, we were stationed in Madrid, Spain. And my dad worked on a flight line. And so when I was about 9 years old, we flew over to Madrid. We drove up to Dover, Delaware, and we got on a C-5A. It's the largest transport cargo airplane that is in all of the military. It is an enormous plane. Now, my dad had told me, you know, kind of like wind lift and what it takes for an airplane to get up off the ground. So it makes sense with an F-14 and you see that, you know, plane take off. But this was an enormous aircraft. To give you an idea, I asked before service, from the bottom of the floor to the top of the ceiling is about 10 feet shorter than how tall that C-5A would be. Yeah, look at it. That's a big airplane. It's 300 feet long, which is the length of a football field. 225 feet is its length. And when it comes off of the ground, it can carry a payload of over 800,000 pounds. Now, I want to just tell you, when I'm nine, and I'm getting on that airplane that can carry 16 Humvees. They put tanks, Abram tanks they can transport on these planes. And I'm walking onto it. What do you think is going through my mind at 9 years old? How is this big, bulky plane ever going to get off the ground and I'm in it? So I am kind of going, are you sure, Dad, this is going to work? And I go up and they strap this in military style. It wasn't, you know, there are no stewardesses on this flight. And so about halfway, we're over the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and we hit turbulence and the plane began to shake. Does anybody have any sympathy for me at all today? And I am 9 years old and I am a tough little kid, so I'm not crying. But I'll tell you what, I am fighting everything in the world because I wanted to. And I am like, are we gonna make it? Are we gonna die in this airplane? And I looked around and I noticed all the soldiers, they were all asleep. Listen, if it was a stewardess or if it was even a person on a plane that's upset and there's turbulence, all of you have been on flights, but when the pilot comes out and he says, prepare for impact, we're in trouble, you know you're in trouble. And the equivalent of that is to be on a ship, and Peter is frantic. He's been in storms before, but this is a fierce storm. It is that kind of a place. They're afraid for their lives. But the thing that they forgot, you may be in a storm like that. The thing that they forgot is that if Jesus said that he was taking me to the other side of this lake, then I tell you what, he is going to take me to the other side of the lake. So it says that they woke him up. And when they woke him up, he does this. He rebukes the wind, and he said to the waves, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And then he said this, why are you afraid? You were asleep with your head on a cushion. We were afraid because the boat was about to capsize, and we thought we were going to die. Amen? You're way too spiritual. You're like, not me. I would not have been afraid. These disciples we're afraid. So Jesus says, why were you so afraid? And then he says, do you still have no faith? Now, I want to say this. Even in the midst of them having unbelief and not having the faith in this moment. You know what? We know, we'll get to the next storm. Jesus could have just walked away. He could have walked on the water and left them, and they could have died on that sea, right? But he was teaching them something. He wanted to teach them what it is to go through the storms of life and get to the other side. And when we go through difficulties and maybe we get a little shaky and we get a little afraid, aren't you glad that God doesn't cast us off? He doesn't say that you're not worth anything or that you don't have a place. He loves you and he has a place and he's gonna teach you what faith is. But this is what he does when he gets up. He rebukes the wind and the waves, and then he rebukes the disciples. And not because he wanted to put them into a place of despair, but he wanted to teach them something. And you'll see the progress as we go through these three storms. But he's saying this: do you know that if I say that I'm with you, it doesn't matter if it seems like I don't care or if I'm far away. If I say that we're getting to the other side, I am with you. And every step that you take, you know that I'm with you. And folks, here in New York City at Times Square, and anybody who's listening, I want to tell you, God will bring us through the storms. He wants us to come to the place that we say, God, you can heal, you can do anything, but it doesn't matter what happens in this life. Your hand is on me. I belong to you. We were singing about it just a few moments ago. No devil in hell and no scheme of man can thwart the plan of God. If God says you're going to the other side, you will go to the other side. I will live every day that he says to live. And listen, if I die, please don't come and try to pull, people say, you know, will you raise the dead? If I die, please leave me and my casket, okay? Because I'm with Jesus. If I'm with Jesus and I'm at the supper and we're having a meal and Pastor Carter, you come and raise me up out, I'm gonna be very upset. I will never take you back to the alligator farm again. So, man, there's a purpose. God's hand, if you're a believer and you know God, listen, he is working something. There's a purpose to take you to the other side of the lake. And listen, when he's finished with you, I will tell you, no demon can kill you. No event on this earth can take your life. My life is in God's hand, and I will live every day that he says to live. And when he's finished with me, I will happily go be with him forever and forever. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. About 9 months later, they encounter another storm. The story sounds very familiar, but it is a completely different storm. It's about 9 months, nine months later. And I'll say this to you. Sometimes we go through storms and we go, God, I feel like I'm coming back to the same storm over and over again. Anybody ever felt like that? I want to tell you why. Because you didn't pass the test on the last storm. So he wants you to get to the other side. He wants to build a faith in you. He wants to establish something inside of you. So 9 months later, they're right back on the Sea of Galilee, right back there at the boat. And I love this. He comes 9 months later in 14, and we'll go down to verse 22. And it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray, and night fell, and it was there alone. Now, it doesn't talk about here in the scripture about the conversation that the disciples had. Okay, it doesn't say that, because now you just put yourself in their position. You already went through one storm. You thought you were gonna die, and you, thank God you made it. But now Jesus is here, and he's going to get back into the boat and go to the other side. Does it sound very familiar to what he said 9 months ago? Do you think that those disciples were going, hey, I don't wanna get on the boat. I don't really know if I wanna get back on that boat. Do you remember the last storm? And the last storm, he was in the boat. This time, he's leaving to go to the prayer mountain. And they're going, okay, now, but I want you to see this. There's a progression in these as we go through these storms. The first time, he's in the boat asleep with his head on a cushion. The second time, now he's leaving to go to a high mountain. You'll see in the third storm exactly what God was preparing them for. But now he goes up to a mountain. Can you imagine any of the disciples saying, I volunteer to go to the all-night prayer meeting with you. I will not fall asleep. I don't want to go back onto that sea And when he says, go to the other side, I could imagine that there would be a few doubts, a few, hey, what is on the horizon here? Because every time you put me in this boat and you tell me to go to the other side, there's a vicious storm. Can I tell you something I've learned in 25 years of ministry? Is that when God tells me to do something, I've come to understand this, that when he calls me to do something, there's always a storm. If you think that I'm going to get onto a boat, if you would, and go over to be a missionary in Ireland for 8 years with my family, and that there won't be storms along the way, you've really missed it. I understand when I say to my wife and to my two children, get in the boat, because God has taken us to places that we don't really know, to do things that we really don't understand. But listen, when God says, get in the boat, you know there's a storm ahead, but something inside of you develops a faith to say, God will get me through this, and he's going to work out his purposes in my life. Praise the Lord. When he called us to start the church in Jacksonville, I want to tell you, it sounds nice to plant a church. Every devil in hell, every religious person in the city, it seems like everything came against us. It seemed like it would be a nice, easy thing. And we had storm after difficulty. It's great to be a pastor on the other side. And, you know, God is growing. People are being saved. Lives are being changed. But listen, it didn't come without a storm. And I want to say to you, if God calls you to something, there will be storms along the way. You see, on the other side of the lake, there was a region of people that have never heard the gospel or been in touch with Jesus. And it says, if you go to the other side of the lake, right after the story is finished, it says that everybody that comes to Jesus, every hand that touches his garment, everybody is healed, they're delivered, they're restored. But there is a storm from one side of the lake to the other side of the lake. I imagine because you're here at 3 o'clock, and you're here at a teaching time, that you have a hunger for God. But I want to tell you, in your desire to serve God, there will be storms that you go through if you ever are to fulfill the purposes of God. And so they stand at this place, the next place, and they're going through, and I think you know the story very well. Again, they hit a fierce storm. As they're going through the storm, you know, this is what we pray. As you're paddling in faith, as you're bailing in faith, this is what you do. You look for a revelation of Jesus, because in the midst of that, who comes off of the mountain and now he's walking on the water is Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, walking on water is scientifically impossible. It is intellectually impossible to walk on water. Can you say amen to that? But thank God, he is greater than science and he is greater than intellect. He's able to do things that are impossible to other men. When Jesus was on top of that mountain praying, do you know what I believe he was praying? I believe he was praying this, God, you take those 12 men in this boat and Lord, show them what faith is. Teach them to trust me. When I'm on the top of the mountain and I'm not in the boat with them, teach them to trust you and to walk with you even in the troubled moments and the storms of life. Let them believe you. That's what his prayer was. And now he's walking on the water and they look up and they see Jesus. And I want to say this to you. When you go through the storms of life, lift up your head and look for a revelation of Christ. He wants to reveal himself in the midst of the storms. He will show you how great and mighty he is. He will do things that are intellectually and scientifically impossible, but God has the power to do it because he's God. Hallelujah. Now, you know, Peter steps out, and it says that he steps out and eventually he starts to sink. Can you imagine what was the hardest step? Was it the first step or the later steps? Because I would think that the first step for Peter, being a fisherman, and listen, the storm is not subsided. It's in the middle of the storm. And he steps out of the boat. That was an incredible step of faith. Can you say amen to that? And so he's now, God is not just saying, look, I can do the impossible. But now he's saying this to you. I want to take you outside of yourself, your intellect. I want you to take yourself out of your comfort zone. And I want to push you out to places where not only you believe that I can do the impossible, but you believe that I can work the impossible through you. Now he wants to take you out of the boat. And now Peter begins to walk in the water. That first step had to be a tough one. And then he started to sink. Why do people sink in the midst of the storms of life? There's two reasons. One is because they believe that they can't. And I believe that Peter very possibly could have come out and he's saying, he's walking on the water, and he all of a sudden he goes, Jesus, I see you, but do you see these storms? Sometimes the storms can be that great that you start to look around and you go, God, I can't do this. This is impossible. How am I gonna walk through these things? I love that person that died. My wife that left me, I don't know how I can live without her. The financial situation is too dire. And sometimes we get into those situations and we start to look around and you go, it's impossible. I wanna say to you in the name of Jesus, if God says it's possible, it's possible. If God says you can walk on water, you can walk on water. The second reason that people sink in the midst of these times is because they're full of pride. And once they take a few steps, they look around and they go, hey, I can do this. Can I tell you, after walking with the Lord for quite a while, whenever I get to the place that I look around and I go, I can do this, that's when I start to sink. Amen. Lord, keep me humble. Lord, help me to know that I can't walk on the water by myself, but Lord, by your power, I can walk on any water, and I'm not a small guy, so when I walk on water, that's a real miracle. So, who are the ones that can walk on water are the ones that have their eyes fixed on Jesus. You see, when his eyes was fixed on Jesus, he could walk. When you say, I can't, you sink. When you say, I can, you sink. When you say, Jesus can, that's when you walk on water. And you know the story. They came to the other side. Praise God. Give God glory for that. He is able. They would get to the other side. The storms would cease. And when they got there, God would do amazing miracles. Now, I want to take you to the third storm. The third storm, I want you to see this progression. The first storm, he's asleep in the boat with his head on a cushion. The second one is a little bit more daring. Now he's on top of the mountain and he's on the boat and he reveals himself in the midst of the storm. But the third storm will take place and it will be the end of his earthly ministry. It'll be the time that Jesus ascends on high. And now this storm, he's not on the mountain far away. He's now ascended to the right hand of the Father. And I want you to see, it follows days that Jesus would be crucified, great trial of faith, and then resurrected, and there's a great joy. 40 days later, he would ascend. It would be not that Jesus has stopped working on the earth. He certainly does through the power of the Holy Spirit. But he ascended in his fleshly form. He ascended to the Father, and he's at the right hand. So he's no longer there to walk through with them and for them to see him every day. And now here is what happens. Now, Jesus in this third storm, he ascends to the Father, but the angry mob doesn't ascend to the Father. And Annas and Caiaphas and the Jewish leaders, they don't ascend to the Father. They're still on the earth. Pilate's still there. The Roman army is still there. And the days that are following, there would be this incredible storm that would hit these disciples. And Jesus had a purpose for them. And the purpose was this: I want you to establish a church, and that church will give glory and honor to who I am. There's a purpose that he had, but he's saying this, in both of those storms, he's preparing them for a time that they are gonna walk into troubled waters. And there would be days that some of them would be beaten. There'd be other days that they were put into jail, and even days like Stephen would be taken and martyred. And if they stood at that place and they say, God, where are you at? Do you even care? It would have been the end of the work of the church. But they didn't. They stood there and they said, you give glory to God. This man lived for God. And we will overcome the storms by the blood of Jesus, by the word of our testimony. We will overcome this storm. And that early church was formed. And men stood up and they rised up to fulfill the place that God had for them in the storms. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. And this is the preceding words before we get to the chapter of faith. And I want you to read this with me. In chapter 10 and verse 32, he says this. He says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. He was saying this. You remember those first steps that you took with Jesus? Man, you were walking on water. You are walking above the storms that came along. He says, even though it meant terrible suffering, some of you were exposed to public ridicule and others were beaten. And sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail and with everything that they owned was taken away from you. You accepted it with joy. You knew that there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. Listen, they were taking those first steps in that early church, and they were full of faith and believing God, and God was bringing them through to the other side. But listen what the writer of Hebrews says to these Hebrew children that are in affliction. He says, so don't throw away that confidence and that trust in the Lord, that faith. Remember the great reward that it brings. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that God had promised, because what had started to happen with some of these believers is that in the midst of the storm, they started to sink. In the midst of the troubles and the difficulties, they started to take a step back. And the writer was coming to them and saying, listen, God still has a great plan. You had that great joy at that early time in your life. No matter how great the storm was, you persevered on. In Times Square Church, I want to say this to you today. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. There are great things that he has in store. God has done great things in the past, but listen, he's doing greater things in the future. Folks, for 250 years of American history, we have enjoyed the blessings of God in this nation. Pastor Carter alluded to it this morning. It's been a good thing to be a Christian in America, but those days are gonna be very few ahead. I don't know if it's 2 years. I don't know if it's 5 years or 10 years. I don't know what the time frame is, but I can tell you this. There will be a day that being a born again Christian in this nation will cause you harm and difficulty. There will be days that the storms will hit you and they'll be very fierce. I believe that those days are happening. And I feel led to say this. There's somebody that's watching on live stream, maybe one of the 1,200 places around the world. You could be in a place that there's a lot of despair, and maybe you're in a place and there's severe persecution. I want to say to you in the name of Jesus today, God will bring you through the storm. It doesn't matter how great it is. It doesn't matter how difficult it is. Maybe you face imprisonment. Maybe you're facing difficult times as you're walking out this life of faith. But I want to tell you in the name of Jesus, the one who put you onto the boat and called you to walk on the water, he will cause you to walk on the water. You will fulfill the purposes of God with your life. Don't draw back. It's a time to take a step forward in faith and believe God to the saving of the soul. He says this, for just a little while, the coming one will come and he won't delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. I'll take no pleasure in those who turn away. Now, when you go to chapter 11 and verse 1, you now have to take that to use the definition of chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. And it gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. What does that mean? Some people take that passage and they go, well, I can be healthy and wealthy and I can have private jets and everything that I ask, I can just get it. But I want to ask you today, church, what are you hoping for? I'll tell you what I'm hoping for is this. I'm hoping for a revelation of Jesus Christ and the plan and the storms that I'm walking through, that no matter what I go through, that Jesus has a plan and he's revealing himself in these last days. What are the things that we, sometimes when we go through the storms, we draw back in faith? What was Jesus doing? He was putting these men on this boat. The first time, his head is on the pillow. The second time, he's on a mountain praying, God, Father God, let them have faith in the good days. Thank God I believe in miracles. Thank God I believe that he heals and he sets free and he does amazing things. But I want to tell you, there are also storms that God wants you to believe and trust him in the storms, in the good days and in the bad days. And he is bringing and working something for his purposes. If you're here today and you go, Pastor, I'm going through some storms. Praise God, he's going to see you through this. But don't think that the storm is an end unto itself. It's not just surviving the storm, but it's spiritually thriving so that when you get to the other side of the lake, that God has done a work in your life that is so amazing that he will perform the miraculous through your life. That's what he's called us to. You are the church of Jesus Christ, and he has called us to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony of the saints. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want the worship team to come. And if you will stand, if you're here today, and you would say, today, maybe you're going through storms. Could be physical storms. It could be relationships that you're going through that are broken. Maybe you're going through times of persecution, finances, whatever it may be. I want to tell you, Jesus, he's not asleep. It's not that he doesn't care. He's trying to produce something in you. He's taking you from glory to glory, from image to image, and he's taking you somewhere by his mighty power. Do you believe that today? Father God, I pray, Lord, in this house, I thank you that you've always been faithful, God, to touch these people. God, you're doing a great work here in this church family. And God, in 1,200 locations and places around the world, as Pastor Carter said, 192 countries, Lord, that this ministry is going out to. And we know that the enemy will not be pleased with this. He will do everything to strike, to come against. He'll use every event in this life and world against the church of Jesus Christ. But God, I thank you that there is no power of hell and there is no scheme of man that can thwart the work of God to one that will believe you and trust you. God, you have not called us, Lord, to the possible. You've called us to the impossible. And Jesus, I pray today for those that are struggling and they're going through the storms of life. God, I pray that you would work out your glory, God. Lord, I pray that in uncertain times and the difficult moments that you would teach us to rely upon you, to believe you, to trust in you, to cleave to you. You are a great and a mighty God. And today, by faith, we come and we want to know you. Our religious activity will never bring us to this place. It's only by faith, Lord, to do the impossible. I pray today, God, that you would be with that single mother. God, be with that man, Lord, that his wife has left him. Be with that individual that's here today that's going through mental torment or feelings of rejection or whatever the battle may be. You are God. You said, let there be light, and there is light. And God, I pray today that you would shine that light in every heart that would believe you. Church, these altars are open. And if you're here and you want to come seek the Lord, you want to pray, I believe that God will hear the cries of our hearts. You're welcome to come and seek the Lord in prayer. Praise God, Pastor Carter. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Church, Jesus is here and he cares. Father God, I pray, Lord, for these men and women that have come to the altar. And God, I pray for those that are still at their seats right now. And God, we ask you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, to do a deep work in our life. God, to produce faith, God. Not just in the good seasons of life, but God, in those difficult moments. Lord, I pray that we would never lose that unwavering faith that God, that you're at work, that you are taking the circumstances of our life and you are orchestrating them together for your purposes. You're producing a greater work of your glory inside of us and God, to extend your kingdom. And God, I pray that as we stand here today, Lord, in these moments, Lord, we lift our eyes to heaven. And Jesus, this storm will only last for a short while. God, I pray today, God, for people that are in difficult situations, that, Lord, that you would bring them through to the other side. God, I pray for those who need healing. God, I pray in Jesus' name for healing. God, I pray for those, God, that are going through troubles in their mind or anxiety in their heart. God, that are dealing even with depression. God, I pray, Lord, that you would do a supernatural work in their life, God, to bring them through the storms of life. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, God, today. Lord, I pray, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're here today and you go, God, I feel weak and I don't know how to get over this weakness. I don't know how to get through this difficulty. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit, to fill you with power from on high, so that when you can't, when it's scientifically impossible, when it's intellectually, it doesn't make sense, the Holy Spirit gives you power to go to a dimension and a place that's far greater than anything that you can imagine or think of in this world. God is able to see you through the storm and to take you to the other side. In Jesus' name, God, I pray that you would reveal this in our hearts today by your mighty power. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody shout hallelujah. Praise God. God is able, Lord. God, you're able, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God.